When up is down, black is white, and evil is good, you know God's favor has been removed.
Every single day, it is utter and complete lawlessness coming out of Washington, D.C. Every single day. They don't follow the law. They take away rights that we had just like that. They don't even think twice. They don't care because they just speak it, and that's the way that it is.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with a radio favorite, Michelle Bachman. From the Afghanistan debacle to forced vaccines to government out of control, many are asking if we are in a post-constitutional republic. Jan and Michelle discuss these issues from a biblical and prophetic perspective in detail this hour.
Welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me today. I've got a very special hour. My guest is going to be Michelle Bachman here after I set the stage and let you know some of the things we will talk about in this hour. My guest says that we are living in days of delusion, and that's quite frankly prophetic. And the Bible says the last days would be characterized by such behavior, leaders falling into reprobate thinking for one. Up is down, black is white, evil is good. And we are living in perhaps the most lawless time in human history, with the lawlessness headquartering out of Washington, D.C. So where do we turn for hope? Well, we'll talk about these things for the hour. Michelle Bachman is currently Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University in Virginia. She did serve in the U.S. Congress, Minnesota's 6th District, 2007 to 2015. She ran for President of the United States in 2012, and I have too many pages of notes in front of me because we're going to try to hit some of the top issues that are troubling my audience because I hear from you on a daily basis, and I know what's bothering you, and I know what you'd like us to talk about. Michelle, we're going to try to do that. Thank you for coming back into the studio.
Thank you, Jan. This will be a full hour, I know.
And we just ministered together in Southern California.
Yes.
Behold, He Comes. Prophecy conference where we both spoke. I'll say more about that a little bit later, folks. Michelle, here's some things you've said to me, and let's be blunt. Thanks to liberalism, we have moved from celebrating one nation under God to celebrating transgender bathrooms. I have heard you say this at the conference in Southern California, that we are in a coup, that war has been declared upon us. That's really you and me you were talking about. And then I heard you say that Afghanistan didn't collapse, America collapsed. Let's spend some time on Afghanistan because, frankly, in watching the whole thing play out, I have seen peak lunacy, that's my term, peak lunacy in everything that's gone on with the debacle, which it was in Afghanistan. You tell me what your perception is.
In 20 years' time, we went from September 11th, 2001, where the United States was attacked internally in the greatest shattering that we had ever seen. The attack was on our economic and military powerhouses. We have dealt with that ramification reverberations for 20 years. Now, after 20 years, almost exactly to the date, we're seeing the greatest shattering externally that the United States has ever had. We have been seen as a force for good, the greatest military superpower on earth. We project power everywhere across the earth. We were the undisputed superpower of the earth. And what I have seen occur in August, when the worst possible exit of any military endeavor, and this is America's longest war, spending well over $1 trillion in Afghanistan. Afghanistan completely collapsed, but what is even worse, Jan? It's difficult for me to say this. I believe, in my estimation, the United States has lost our superpower status on the global stage. This is not a small thing. This
correct.
Is everything.
I heard you say, happened to be at this conference we both spoke at, Afghanistan didn't collapse, America collapsed.
Right.
Now, that was a very troubling statement you made, and I know it's a true statement, and we're going to unpack that, folks. But here's the other thing I heard you say as it concerns this topic. You highlighted how other nations figured out how to get their people out of Afghanistan But then you used the word, but the monsters in Washington, D.C. could not figure out or would not allow the Americans and those affiliated with the Americans to get out. Why don't you explain yourself?
It's clearly the latter. Those people who were the decision makers in Washington, D.C., no one believes that Joe Biden is calling the shots,
correct,
much less Vice President Harris. Whoever it is in D.C. calling the shots intentionally planned this, that the United States would have the biggest global black eye that there is. And if you look at this, in the middle of the night, an order was given that 100% of the U.S. military had to exit Afghanistan, while thousands of Americans were in Afghanistan, while thousands of Afghan aides were in Afghanistan who were SIV holders of a special visa status, no plan was made for removing them. If you pull your military out, are you saying, what, we won a war? Are you kidding me? You've just left thousands of people hostage. They could be beheaded in the street. Women
correct
could be raped in the street. That's what the Taliban is capable of. As a matter of fact, during the whole withdrawal, that's what the Taliban did, and they're continuing to do it. What sane country would give an electronic device to terrorists? We, as the United States, consider in law the Taliban a foreign terrorist organization. Why would we give them nearly $90 billion
right
in functioning military equipment? Why would we give them handheld electronic devices that have all of the biometric data of all the Americans and Afghan allies on these devices, including iris scans, biometric data, where they live, what their background is, what they did for the United States? These devices made their way into the hands of the Taliban. Real extra applications for being SIV status, thousands were given out. So the process was meant to be chaos. All the other nations viewed this. We have the best intelligence system in the world, bar none. Nobody comes close to our intelligence system. I sat on the intelligence committee. We know everything about Afghanistan. Every digital imprint we know. We have overhead architecture. We could view the entire supply chain from Pakistan coming into Afghanistan. We knew when every portion of Afghanistan fell. So this was no overnight thing where, for instance, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Milley, said, we had no way of knowing this would collapse in 10 days. You knew it exactly
absolutely
while it was collapsing. So this was intentional, and American lives are at stake. People say that thousands remain in Afghanistan. As of this point, the United States shut down the 1-800 helpline at the State Department that Americans who are trapped could even call to get out. So America closed the door and said, we're done in Afghanistan, even when we weren't done. This has never happened before. So the whole globe knows that we are a defeated superpower.
But it had to happen before September 11th. There's some sort of symbolism here for Mr. Biden, apparently.
Well, Joe Biden said he wanted us out by September 11th, because if we are defeated on September 11th,
yes,
that says to the Islamic world that they are conquerors and that Allah has given them this time. And now they have the full freedom to continue to rise up more terrorism and to conquer the United States. It sent a signal to the Islamic world that they conquered the United States and Afghanistan, and they will conquer the United States on our own soil.
Now, apparently you even spoke with former Secretary of State Pompeo about this.
Last week.
Even he is baffled by the insanity
here. He is anguished by what he is seeing. You have to recall that President Trump and Secretary Pompeo laid out the plan for keeping the peace. 2,500 American soldiers held the peace in Afghanistan. For 18 months,
right,
not one American soldier was killed because he held the peace. And the reason why is because the Taliban knew if they stepped one inch out of their box, Donald Trump would take them out.
Yes.
They'd pay very serious price. So they knew what was behind the order. With Joe Biden, they took the measure of the man, and they knew that they could push him over and we would be defeated. That's exactly what they did.
There are some private efforts, isn't it sad? We have to resort to it. Some private efforts to get the innocent Al Christians and others that were affiliated with the Americans. This is Glenn Beck talking just for 2 minutes here about his ordeal. And folks, listen to what he's going to say. The biggest obstacle in his effort, just as Michelle and I are talking here, is our own State Department.
What's going on right now is one of the most amazing things I have ever personally witnessed. And it is the evacuation of Americans, those who helped us, Christians that are dying, women that are under incredible conditions. I see things that I can't show you. I see things. I see the pleadings from people who are in safe houses. Please don't forget us. I see what they're being sent by the Taliban. If I die today, my entire life will have been worth it for what you have helped get done in just the last 3 weeks. You have saved well over 5,000 people. Now remember, our goal for $20 million was 3,000 to 5,000 people, and we thought that would be incredible. I cannot give you at today's date how many people you have actually saved, because we don't want anyone. This program and everything is monitored closely, and so I want to be extraordinarily careful. But I will tell you that the number is bigger than 5,000 people. What I hoped to have happened this weekend is still so incredibly close. I was told that if it didn't happen this weekend, a window is closing, and that window has not yet closed. And there are people that are that are yet to save, and more than what you see on TV, more than what the White House is telling you. I will leave it at that. There are dark forces that are at play here. Unfortunately, there are dark forces still at play in our own White House and in our own State Department. And I have again spoken to many people over the weekend. Why won't they just get out of our way?
Michelle Bachmann, do you have an answer to Glenn Beck's question? Why won't the officials in the State Department, the White House, why won't they get out of the way and let the innocent live?
They're operating under a completely different set of goals and rules in this White House that we have never seen before. I personally believe that this is an administration that values the culture of death. They do on the area of abortion. They're fighting Texas that wants to save lives. And also in Afghanistan. Remember, it was the Biden administration that created this problem in Afghanistan. Afghanistan was perfectly at peace. He upended everything. And the ultimate reality is that it was death that we saw. This is something that's very hard to square because the United States doesn't work like this. It's hard for us to process this information. The State Department, I can verify this both in my conversation with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, but also a former colleague of mine, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma, who went at great price to Afghanistan to save a woman and her four children. He was reported missing. He wasn't missing. He didn't want to disclose any information. He wasn't trying to draw attention to himself. He wanted to get people out. He brought a lot of money into Afghanistan because he knew he'd have to pay off the Taliban in order to get people out. So what you're saying, Jan, is that it's private efforts that were trying to save life. It was the United States government that brought about death and did nothing to prevent additional death. Mm-hmm. This is what we can't believe.
Right,
they didn't try to prevent additional death. There were six planes that were on the ground filled with Americans. Remember, they bragged that they got over 120,000 people out of the country. They say the greatest airlift ever. It was the greatest migration exfil ever because they were trying to get unvetted Afghans out to throw them all over in different cities across the United States. They only got 6,000 Americans out. Thousands were left behind. So Glenn Beck said that they got in excess of 5,000 out. There's still more that are there. This is the worst humanitarian disaster of a nation willfully abandoning their own people and not caring, and there is no plan. I was watching one day, and members of Congress came out of a briefing, and they went to the microphone and said, "We just want to verify. This administration has no plan to rescue the people that are there." This is after they'd already left. So the people who are in there are on their own. We abandoned them to what we designate as a foreign terrorist organization. This is a culture of death in this White House that I've never seen.
Apparently, the Department of Defense knew that there was a bomb at the Abbey Gate. They had drones that could have struck the target. According to the information you shared at the Behold He Comes conference back on September 11th, we had to get permission from the Taliban. This is why I call this peak lunacy, folks. Absolute insanity. We had to get permission from a terrorist organization. Can you imagine Donald Trump going to the Taliban and asking for permission? But this administration thinks nothing of it.
The Trump administration embraced a culture of life. The Biden administration embraces a culture of death. I read this article, and it was on a Friday. Friday is document dump day in D.C. That's when the worst stories come out. And so the story came out that the Department of Defense and John Kirby, who is the press spokesman for the Pentagon, had said, yes, that we share intelligence with the Taliban, a foreign terrorist organization, and also we were working with them, supposedly to get people out, but it wasn't to get people out because our Department of Defense, we knew exactly, according to this article, that there was going to be a strike, that there were explosives, and we knew the vehicle and the people that were involved in it. We had drones available. We had a lock on the person who was going to do the explosives. So permission was requested to take a strike because what's a strike? That means you're going to kill someone. Permission had to be granted. So the Defense Department asked the Taliban for permission to activate the kill strike. The Taliban vetoed. So the Defense Department knew that this could very well happen. This bomb went off at the Abbey Gate. It killed 200 people, including our 13 brave soldiers. The Department of Defense allowed this bomb to go off. That's what was in the article that I read. And then another article came out at the same time saying we had six planes on the tarmac. And Congressman Mark Wayne Mueller was on the phone with the State Department saying, I've got all the passports. I've got all the manifests. I can tell you exactly who's on these planes. The State Department refused to let them leave from Afghanistan. That's why this is horrific, what we're seeing happen. This isn't being political.
No,
this isn't,
no,
I'm a Republican, I don't like a Democrat president. This is nothing about that.
I understand.
This is what we've never seen before. That is why I say, Jan, that we are seeing the United States, it is now past tense. We are not a superpower today. That is gone. Joe Biden is also trying to pass $3.5 trillion in spending, and it's actually more than that. It's about $6 trillion. Who's going to pay for it? It's us. There's nobody else. We have to pay for it. We are the brokest nation in American history. Think of yourself in a car going 80 miles an hour into a brick wall. That's our economy right now. And Joe Biden is trying to speed that up. So we're looking at breaking our back economically, but we're already done militarily. I have been grieved for over a month because every day of your life, you've woke up and America has been the premier superpower nation in the world. No one was even in our league. We are not. Now, we willingly, through the Biden administration, handed the baton of superpower status to communist China. They are now the leading superpower, and it's by trajectory because you have to look at what's the direction. China is in the position to eclipse us as the economic superpower. They also have the largest naval fleet in the world now. They are eclipsing us militarily. And we just built them with the finest military basing in Afghanistan, over $1 trillion. They now own Bagram Air Force Base.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have the familiar voice of Michelle Bachman. She's in studio with me. We both headquarter out of the Twin Cities, though Michelle is currently the Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. You know, she served in Congress and ran for President of the United States. Michelle and I both ministered at the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference back on September 10th and 11th. And folks, you can still view that. If you'd like to just go online, the only way to watch it online is to go to beholdhecomes.org. Again, this was put on by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Pastor Jack Hibbs is the promoter and sponsor of Behold He Comes. We had Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack, Michelle, myself, Pastor Barry Stagner. A lot happened those 2 days, so go to beholdhecomes.org. You can watch it that way, or I personally encourage you to get some DVDs and hand them out as gifts. I think it will wake some folks up. Leo Holman, who's an investigative journalist we both appreciate, has written an article. I want to read a paragraph, and he says this: Joe Biden is not incompetent. He is doing exactly what he was hired to do, to collapse America. Joe Biden is a man in cognitive decline, but he is not crazy. He's not stupid. He goes on to say, Biden knows who he is and for whom he works. He is a stooge for the global Great Reset, and he is doing his job exactly as it was assigned to him by his superiors. His job, in fact, the whole purpose of his dubious presidency, is to precipitate the following. 1. Collapse the supply chain, the dollar, and ultimately the American economy. 2. Collapse the American military and embolden enemy forces. 3. Collapse the American health care system. 4. Collapse the American border. And then the last paragraph I'll read. Biden is well on his way to accomplishing all 4 of the tasks laid out by him by his handlers, who themselves are puppets working for the goals and values of the power elites at the World Economic Forum, global corporations, the United Nations, and other globalist entities. No wonder, Michelle, the election had to be stolen for all of this to fall into place. And believe me, folks, all things are falling into place. Now, you and I know that Barack Obama is in the shadows somewhere, and his cronies are in the shadows, and they're in the Biden administration. But ultimately, it's the global elite who are pulling the puppet strings.
Yes, it is the global elite. You and I had looked at a video that said that one of the goals was the U.S. will no longer be a superpower.
Correct.
My jaw hit the floor when I saw that video, because they've achieved that objective. The United States has been the superpower of the world since about the 1940s, 1950s. And for someone to pull that off, that we no longer are, because during the 4 years of the Trump administration, our economy was tops in the world. China was set to eclipse our economy. But because of the work that President Trump had done, that wasn't happening. In fact, the gap was getting wider. China was losing. We were gaining, and our military was completely rebuilt. That's gone haywire. In 9 months,
9 months
time,
mm-hmm.
Joe Biden, and it really isn't him, it's whoever is behind him, they have managed to collapse the United States to the extent that we are no longer a superpower status. Now, I say that recognizing we do have weapons superiority sitting on the shelf. That is true. However, we have had weapons superiority for 20 years, and that didn't allow us to win the war in Afghanistan. Why? Because of lack of political will. The people at the top of the food chain weren't interested in getting out of Afghanistan or ending this war. They were trying to bankrupt the United States through it. Donald Trump was the first president who actually wanted to get us out, who had a plan to get us out, and they had a conditions-based withdrawal. And if we would have kept 2,000 soldiers there to maintain the peace as long as they weren't getting killed, that would have been an acceptable situation. We've been doing that in Germany. We've done that in South Korea. That is something that we can live with. But this is something completely different. This was a war that had already been won. And there was an effort made to make sure that no ally would ever work with us again. We completely blew up NATO. That's what Joe Biden did. NATO is over. All of our alliances. I will tell you, to have the British Parliament pass a resolution to condemn the United States and the President of the United States, that has never happened before. And today, we've got these nuclear weapons, but I can tell you they're probably going to be decommissioned in the sense that we won't be using them. There is an article that came out recently that the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in a book written by the author Bob Woodward, He admitted in a call to his equal in China that you don't have to worry about the United States. If we ever are going to attack China, I'll make sure I call you ahead of time to give you a heads up. Yep. Are you kidding me? Yep. This is the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It is a treasonous statement. So the people who are abetted right now, and remember, Joe Biden himself is deeply conflicted with China. His son, Hunter, was on of these shady deals. His brother, James, the same thing. Biden Inc. was for sale. These people are grifters. Like Clinton Inc., they were grifters. I'm not saying this because they're a Democrat. The information is out there. They are. But what this means is that they couldn't even pass a background test for the lowest level federal job there is, because the FBI has to do a background test. And the President of the United States couldn't pass that background test because of how seriously compromised he was. So is it any shock that the Chinese government has benefited at every turn from every decision that he's made, economically and militarily?
Let me do just a couple of announcements here, and I want you to give the address for a couple of the conferences you have sponsored. But let me quickly insert here that we've got an Understanding the Times night coming up Thursday, October 14th. Our first one, Michelle was our guest, and they're all live streamed, and we've had about 130,000 view the evening we had with Michelle. It's held at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Thursday, October 14th, our guest will be Pastor Billy Crone. We're going to talk about prophecy, current events. You can come on out and be a part of the activity at the church. You can watch online, markhenryministries.com. MarkHenryMinistries.com. No cost, no tickets. I know tickets were mentioned. Just first come, first serve. That's Thursday, October 14th, Revive Church, formerly Brooklyn Park Evangelical Free Church, 7849 West Broadway. Call the church for more information. We had a wonderful evening. This would have been back on August the 12th. You can find that presentation on my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video, and you'll see a link for the presentation that Michelle and myself and Mark Henry, we participated in three-way, plus some Q&A. Michelle, you just had a conference right before the 20th anniversary of 9/11 at Regent. Give us the address. Give me a minute as to what happened.
People can watch our full conference. It is a 20-year retrospective of September 11, 2001, through the current events with the collapse in Afghanistan, and really the collapse of America is what we saw in Afghanistan. This is a full conference with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, William Federer, the Christian historian, but also we have John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General that day, Bernie Carrick, who was the New York City Chief of Police that day, Admiral Vern Clark, the Secretary of Navy that day. So they give all of their retrospectives on what happened behind the scenes. The bottom line is we had the right people in the right place that day. We had adults in the room to deal with the United States, unlike the nefarious actors who are on the world stage bringing about the collapse of the United States. So people can see that conference. Please come and watch it. It's extremely well done. It's free. It's a virtual conference. So just type in to your computer, regent.edu/911. That's it. And then you click and you watch the conference. And okay. Regent is R-E-G-E-N-T, regent.edu/911. We also did a conference prior to that, and it was on election integrity. And I will tell you, the election was stolen. From my opinion, it was stolen in November of 2020. You won't want to miss that conference. That's at regent.edu/election integrity, all in one word, no spaces.
When I get back, we're going to get into some vaccine issues as well. I mean, mandatory vaccines. We had a lecture by Mr. Biden. This is now a couple of weeks ago. Just what does that mean to you? I'm hearing from folks, you're potentially losing everything unless you submit. Many of you have had COVID, so you've got natural immunity, feel you don't need this injection. We'll talk about some of these issues when I get back. Don't go away, folks. Back in just a minute or two.
This ministry, as well as Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, and Pastor Jack Hibbs, presented a powerful prophecy conference back on Saturday, September 11. Speakers included Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Jan Markell, Pastor Barry Stagner, and Michelle Bachman. We are now offering DVDs of this insightful day. Included as bonus features are a prophecy roundtable discussion, interviews of speakers, and more. They are now shipping. You can find these DVD products in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. The cost is just $20 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. Some states require tax. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or just get on our print and e-newsletter list. Sign up at our website. If you would like to still take advantage of the streaming pass, go to beholdhecomes.org and follow the instructions there. The pass will allow you to watch online for many months at beholdhecomes.org. Let's spread the good news that he is coming soon, and let's occupy until he comes.
With COVID cases surging and deaths now five times higher than just a month ago, President Biden is requiring tens of millions more Americans to get vaccinated.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
The president is ordering nearly all federal workers and employees of contractors that do business with the federal government get vaccinated within 75 days, eliminating their option to be tested instead of getting shots. Employees who refuse could be punished, even fired.
If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated.
While initially reluctant to issue mandates, the president's aggressive new plan requires vaccinations for 17 million healthcare workers at hospitals and other sites that receive Medicare or Medicaid funding. President Biden's now pressuring private companies too, directing the Labor Department to require businesses with 100 or more employees ensure their workers are fully vaccinated or provide a negative test each week, a move the White House estimates will impact 80 million Americans. Companies that do not comply could face fines, the White House anticipating lawsuits.
We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
Welcome back. We're going to get to this topic here of this segment of the programming. I have in studio with me familiar voice of Michelle Bachman. We both ministered together at Behold He Comes, the Prophecy Conference sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Pastor Jack Hibbs. It's a wonderful, actually, 2 days worth of information and inspiration. Here's kind of the point of this hour, I think, folks, and that is things are winding up so fast. The things the Bible predicted are happening so quickly, and that's what any end time reference always indicates. Things are going to happen suddenly, and that's what we see happening. Events that the Bible talks about are happening quickly, are happening suddenly. The kingdom of the Antichrist is at the door. The church is removed before that happens, so the church never experiences God's wrath. We experience man's wrath all the time, but never the wrath of God that is saved for the tribulation. And that's a terrible 7-year period that I believe is almost at the door, which means the church is vacating sooner than anybody can possibly imagine. Now, Michelle, you said during the break a couple of things that we want to follow up on. First, this wonderful military officer, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, is a Marine officer relieved of active duty after calling out senior leaders about Afghanistan. And he said, quote, "I'm willing to throw it all away," his military career. "I'm willing to throw it all away to say to my senior leaders, I demand accountability." I'm sure there were others who took that position. He said enough is enough as he looked at his military leaders. You said to me, number one, we're in a coup. Number two, you said the fallout from Afghanistan is not over. And then we talked about we're going to actually fund the Taliban. Let's go back to the coup. Talk to me about that.
People don't recognize that we are literally in a coup right now. A coup is an illegal takeover of a government. I believe that that began with the stolen election in 2020. You can have whatever opinion you want. Again, I encourage people to go to regent.edu/election integrity to hear evidence on that. There's even more evidence since the stealth of the election. When you look at every decision that's been made by the current administration has been to collapse the United States in every possible way. If you're president, you usually want to make people's lives better. People's lives are far worse with inflation and the southern border, where literally millions of people are now coming over our southern border completely unvetted. disease coming in, while we're all told that we have to comply with mandates, there's an effort that's being made to collapse the United States in every possible way. All you have to do is look at how empires collapse. The United States is following that same pattern. This is a coup. So this isn't just speculation. This isn't something in the future. We're in the middle of a revolution. It's an attack on the United States that is happening. I don't want to upset people, but we need to know that the United States government doesn't necessarily have our best interests at heart, because the effort is to take down the United States. Now, I want to give a word of caution. It's imperative that people don't take matters into their hands with violence. We don't want to go down a road of violence, but I think there are those who would like to see people be violent in the streets. We can't be violent. So I think we're in the middle of a coup right now. It's important for us to take the temperature and know where the United States is at. And the second thing that you brought up, Jan, was, well, Afghanistan isn't over.
It isn't over. That's what you told me.
That's right. The Biden administration destroyed what happened in Afghanistan, but they want to close the book on it and say, move on. There's nothing to see here. There's a lot to see here. For one thing, there's Americans who are still behind enemy lines. China is taking over this country and partnering with Afghanistan, a foreign terrorist organization, in one of the most strategic parts of the world. Joe Biden said, in the very near future, we need to have electric cars. Well, electric cars components come from lithium. Lithium is found in Afghanistan. Now, China will have near complete monopoly on lithium. Whatever the battery is that we want to have, we will be beholden to China. So this is extremely important. Afghanistan is just starting for the collapse of the United States. It is the tool being used to bring us down. The third item that we wanted to talk about
is we're funding the Taliban.
We're funding the Taliban. That's exactly right. We're talking billions and billions of dollars. Now, again, a foreign terrorist organization. Therefore, under American law, we are prohibited from giving any money or materials or weaponry to the Taliban. We gave them $90 billion worth of weaponry, ammunition, the finest military equipment the world has ever seen, including more helicopters than all of Australia has. That's how gargantuan this stockpile is. I think it's 5 rifles for every Afghan. Well, it's unbelievable.
If I can interject here, I do believe this weaponry will turn up in the Gog and Magog war, Ezekiel 38-39. You read there about the weapons on the mountains of Israel. Some of this is the almost $90 billion in weaponry we left behind, folks. And the Israelis are going to burn some of this weaponry for 7 years, which is the length of the tribulation. So again, folks, apocalyptic things are happening. And when I say that, I don't mean to say that to sound sensational. I'm saying they leap out of the Bible. That's what's happening here.
I had called you right after that happened.
You did.
And I said, I think that this may be a possibility, that these $90 billion will be used for the Ezekiel 38-39 purpose. We're looking through the lens of the Bible. But when you look through the lens of reality, the day-to-day that we're living with right now, the Biden administration and our State Department, they can't wait to shovel boxes of money over to Afghanistan. They would be funding a foreign terrorist organization as if it wasn't enough for us to give them $1 trillion worth of infrastructure and $90 billion in weaponry. Now they want to have an ongoing welfare program to Afghanistan, but really, we would be the funding partner to the Chinese communists. You couldn't even make something like this up.
They can't write the script.
And people have to know
I've
that.
I've written scripts, and this is too much science fiction.
Only it's not science fiction.
It's not science fiction.
It's tragedy.
Betrayal.
It's betrayal of the Constitution, betrayal of the American people. It is betrayal.
Yeah. And I called it at the conference back on September 11th. I called it blatant treason is going on, folks. We're going to have something a little more positive. We'll have to wait till the end of the program. I'm morphing a little bit here, Michelle. And you were on this program, this would have been spring of 2020, and we talked about 15 days to slow the spread. That turned into, quite frankly, if I can be blunt, that turned into literal global tyranny. We've got all sorts of mandates now. The U.S. government is going to try to mandate vaccines, which is seriously problematic because there are so many people who have this natural immunity. I've had COVID. I have natural immunity. Just about everybody I know has had COVID. They actually fared fairly well, acknowledging many did not fare well at all. And we understand that and have deep sorrow for that. Nonetheless, we've got potential vaccine mandates, and you talked about this at our event back in mid-August at Revive Church, the fact that you've never seen this in the history of mankind. Possibly, I guess we could go back to the Holocaust, where there were experimental events going on. From that came the Nuremberg laws, which really prevent this kind of mandatory vaccines.
They should be prevented because we aren't one size fits all. All of our bodies are very different. This is the crowd that, quote, loves diversity. They don't at all. They're liars and hypocrites because they want to force all people across the earth to get the jab. But isn't it interesting that it is the English-speaking nations that they are forcing this on more than anyone else? Canada, the United States, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, the most fierce lockdowns are coming in these venues. You don't hear all this in the other countries as much. This is where you're hearing it. Why is it that they're forcing us into digital passports, forcing us to inject things in our body that we don't need to have, especially when the recovery rate is in excess of 99 point whatever percent? This is a disease that, yes, is serious. Yes, I've had it. Yes, you've had it. But the blessing for people who've had it, who recovered, we have natural immunities in our bodies so that our body knows how to deal with the variants that come forward. It isn't the people who've already gone through COVID who are having the problem with subsequent variants. It's the people who had the vaccine, and then they end up getting COVID, and the body just doesn't seem to know what to do to respond to it. More importantly, why is there this frenzy of insistence? It's maniacal, where everybody has to fold into this system to the point of losing their income. I was reading in Ecclesiastes, and there's a portion, depending on your version, and it says, it is as murder to deprive someone of his means of making a living. I'm going to read that again. It is as murder to deprive someone of his means of making a living. So don't tell me this is about public health. When you want to throw a father or a mother or a single person out of their job, they'll have nowhere to go. You deprive them of their living. What are they supposed to do now? Maybe they have health insurance. They have life-saving drugs they have to take to keep going. They are responsible for putting food on the table, for the roof over their head. The federal government is invading the jurisdiction of the family. They're invading the jurisdiction of the church. They're invading the jurisdiction of private property ownership. This is all clearly unconstitutional without a shadow of a doubt, but it's almost like it is a maniacal frenzy, and the federal government will not stop until we're all in their noose.
They didn't always have this story. They sang a different tune at one time, not all that long ago.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates, and if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory. First, we must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements.
Michelle, something changed along the way. The tune changed for sure. The procedure changed. Those of us who are not vaccinated, I sometimes wonder if we're the new yellow-starred people.
That's the hall of shame of liars that you just heard. These are the top voices on vaccines in the country. You're right, it makes your head spin, the whiplash, because they will say something and literally you have to wake up in the morning and find out, okay, what is the government party line today? Because I thought we were going down this road. They were saying, I don't have to mask, or now I do have to mask. I do social distance. I don't social distance. I do vaccinate. You have to mandate. No, you don't. No one knows. And yet they are demanding that people be deprived of their livelihood. In fact, there have been stories of two women that I read, each of whom were denied medical care
yes.
because they were unvaccinated.
Exactly, and I'm so concerned where this is going,
yes.
Michelle. I'm so concerned
yeah.
how far the various countries, including our great nation, America, how far they're going to push this. Are they going to be prohibiting some of the very basics in life that the free world has come to expect? I mean, it is possible.
Well, they're going down the road of telling people that you may not be able to have Medicare. You may
yes.
not be able to have Medicaid. We may cut your Social Security by $50 a month. This is coming out of the Democrats.
Yeah.
This is coming out of the White House, floating these trial balloons of whatever it takes to force all of us into a pen like a herd of cattle. Everybody has to go down the road that they say. Some people have heart problems. Some people have kidney problems. Some people have lung problems. And you're going to force everyone to go in and have something injected into them. There isn't even a question of talked with your doctor about it. This is your choice. That is completely gone. Now they hate democracy. That's what I would say about what I'm seeing out of this Biden White House and out of Democrats nationally. They hate our choice. They demand that their choice be substituted for ours. We really are in, not future tense, today.
Yeah.
We're in a post-constitutional society, a post-democratic society, and because our elections now are the most corrupt I've ever seen, we can't even get our choice of a candidate anymore because we can't trust our elections. And then if we get a result that is not to the administration's liking, they appeal it to a corrupt judge. We are living in a day of lawlessness that we have never seen, but that lines up with scripture prophetically.
Absolutely.
The man of lawlessness is running rampant in our day. We need to be aware of it,
yes.
of the temperature of the times that we're in, how lawless this is. So people are feeling this cognitive dissonance mm-hmm. in their brain. Their mind is saying, this doesn't make sense to me. I want you to know you aren't crazy. What you're seeing is real because, unfortunately, you're living in the middle of a revolution. You're living in a world that we don't recognize anymore because it's a post-constitutional, post-democratic government. Before, when I was in Congress, people just assumed that government was going to do the right thing for people. I was surprised at the naive trust people had in our government. I want to say quite clearly, that is gone. Our government is not looking out for our best interests. They're looking out for the best interests of the coup, the illegal takeover of our government. What is going to reach their goal? And their goal is to collapse the United States so that we're no longer a superpower. And I don't believe we are a superpower anymore because they want to have a small little elite group of countries that are going to be making the decisions. Well, that lines up with scripture, that there'll be like a federation of 10
yes.
regions in the United States, and then the Antichrist will be the one who rules. I'm not saying that Fauci or Biden or anyone who's on the world stage is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that my whole calling in life was spent in government. That's my background. And I can say as a believer in Jesus Christ who believes in the prophetic word of God, I am seeing the scripture line up minute by minute, hour by hour with what I'm seeing in front of my eyes. Some of this, as you've said, Jan, will be in the tribulation.
Absolutely.
But we're coming right up to that edge of time, and we don't know when that will be.
We've got roughly 10 minutes left, and I think we've made the case to my audience that this is not the America of the 1950s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s. This is a new day. It's not a happy day. We've made the case, I hope, at least my hope and goal here is to remind folks, as you just did, that the Bible is playing out just exactly as it's predicted to do, and there's a man of lawlessness right now. He's in the shadows because the church has to be gone before the Antichrist appears. I believe the removal of the church is just imminent any day, folks. You need to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ so that when Jesus Christ does return in the clouds, that's not the second coming. That's 7 years later when he returns in the rapture for the rapture of the church. You will go with the believers, the saints, and escape that terrible seven-year tribulation. I talked about that in great detail last weekend on my program with Dr. Ron Rhodes. Find it at my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to radio. Action plan, Michelle, and we talked about this before we started here on air. There's some things that folks can do. We can try to resist some of this. Some of it we can't resist. The government is so overwhelmingly powerful, we can't necessarily resist everything.
That's true. But I will say that in the goodness of the Lord and the goodness of his timing on his biblical calendar, we've just completed this period of time known as Teshuvah. It is 40 days of fasting and prayer. Moses did it. The prophets did it. Jesus did it. And it's this time of year when God gives an opportunity to all people to return to him, to confess our sins and repent of our sins and draw near. It's the two biblical months of Elul and Tishri. The first 30 days are confession of sin and repentance. The last 10 days are the days of awe, the days of recognizing the sovereignty of God, returning to him. There was a group that came together every morning. We met for a half hour. We had prayer and fasting for these 40 days. I have to tell you, the great joy that we felt coming together as believers, we did this on a phone call or on Zoom. We had people literally from around the world, a woman who sets her alarm for 2 a.m. in Australia to be a part of this because Australia is locked down terrible right now. So we have been meeting together as a form of fellowship, but really just to be in prayer. And I will tell you, all these things that I have said today are probably the most depressing and alarming that I've ever said on your program.
And you've been on my program maybe 25 times. And the tone today is
unlike anything we've ever done.
Unlike anything
done
over the last 15 years.
That's right. But I will tell you that in the midst of all of that bad news, I am walking in the greatest freedom and joy I've ever walked in right now because we've just completed these 40 days of prayer, repentance, and fasting. That's how the believers feel. In fact, they are so committed to this prayer time. They insisted that they want to keep going after this 7 days a week because they're seeing how the scripture, the word of God, is leaping off the pages into their spirit because they're seeing how much we need the comfort of God, the love of God. The good thing about this, Jan, is that I have seen that we have been returning to our first love. And when the book of Revelation, with all of the different churches that they talk about in Revelation, that's what God said. He wants us to return to our first love. I think with the persecution that we're seeing in this day, this is driving us toward him. It's taking away all the distractions, and we are being rightly focused on our relationship with him. When the scripture says we are to be like 10 virgins with our lamps filled with oil, right now, before he comes, he wants his bride to be like a pure virgin with our lamp filled with the Holy Spirit, his peace. We need to know him. We need to know his word. We need to be about our Father's business. I actually think this is the greatest time in history to be alive. It's when the prophets long to be alive. We're going to be here for his coming, should he come soon. And we have the privilege of being ready for him because we get to watch these things.
Yes.
We get to see them fulfilled. Imagine before Israel returned as a nation, people were waiting for that. Well, look what we've seen. We've seen the fulfillment of scripture and we're seeing it happen. And now behold, he comes.
Behold, he comes. The other thing that's so important, and I think this was reemphasized in my mind, is fellowship with one another. Because if we don't have that fellowship with other believers, I saw this at the conference we both ministered at, and there were thousands in attendance. There were 53 countries watching online. The online fellowship is great, folks, but it's not anything like in-person fellowship, be it in a church or a home fellowship. We've got to be encouraging one another, Hebrews 10:25. Michelle, I'm down to about 2 minutes. There's so much more we actually could say, but I feel like we've already overwhelmed folks, and I appreciate the way you have summed things up here. I think that that's very effective. Folks, you can get a letter of exemption from various organizations and churches as it comes to these vaccine mandates. Are they going to be effective and accepted everywhere? Probably not, but some are being accepted. Is there anything else we should hit here?
Religious exemptions, medical exemptions, but I think it's important to try and get as much information about where we're at and organizations, frontline doctors, Twyla Brace, different people who have credible information that's available to you, but also being plugged in with believers. If for some reason our means of support is taken away from us, we need to be in relationship with other believers who can help us. And we need to minister to believers. We're moving into this time. Persecution has happened across time and across people groups, but persecution is here. When the government invades the jurisdiction of a private business, and essentially our government wants to take over our private businesses by deputizing them and telling them what they have to do. So the local church is more important than other. Find your fellowship with like-minded believers and then trust the Lord. We are going to witness miracles. That's the other great thing. Because God is not beating us up, and he's not going to abandon us. He promises that in his word. Now is when we see him more alive, more real than ever before. And very soon, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Be one of those today.
Michelle, thank you for coming in today. Very heavy message. I thank you nonetheless. We've wanted to end, folks, with giving you some hope and inspiration. I'm just going to close with a little. Somebody sent me a card. It says, when you need the wall to fall, the sea to part, the mountain to move, the rain to start, the chains to break, the enemy to flee, the storm to cease, the victory, our mighty, awesome, faithful God has got you covered. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
You are the love song we'll sing forever.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We know the hour today has been troubling, yet we felt the need to be honest and forthright. America, as we once knew it, may not be coming back, but Jesus Christ is. And all the issues discussed is just more evidence that everything is falling into place.